we present The Little Sister by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison. Starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. With Toby Robbins, Margaret Robertson, and Liza Ross. The Little Sister. California, 1947.
It was one of those clear, bright summer mornings we get in the early spring in California before the high fog sets in. The first stores are advertising their annual sales. The call houses that specialize in 16-year-old virgins are doing a land office business. And in Beverly Hills, the jacaranda trees are beginning to bloom. I was in my reasonably shabby office at the end of a reasonably shabby corridor in the sort of building that was new about the year the all-tile bathroom became the basis of civilization. No customers, nobody but me. And a big blue-bottle fly. I'd been stalking that fly for 5 minutes, waiting for him to sit down. He didn't want to. He just wanted to do wingovers and sing the prologue to Pagliacci. I had the fly swatter poised. I was all set. This was my big chance.
Mr. Philip Marlowe, the detective?
Close the door.
I beg your pardon?
Forget it, sister. He's gone.
Who?
I don't like killing anyway.
Shall I close it now?
Why not? Sit down and tell me your troubles. I take it you have got troubles.
How much do you charge, Mr. Marlowe?
Oh, what was it you wanted done?
It's very confidential.
$40 a day in expenses.
That's far too much. I only get a small salary.
Doing what?
Working for Dr. Zugsmith. I'm his receptionist.
Hey, how is the old boy? I haven't seen him since that time I fell off the garage roof.
Why, surely you can't know Dr. Zugsmith.
Dr. George Zugsmith, Santa Rosa.
Oh, no. This is Dr. Alfred Zugsmith in Manhattan. Manhattan, Kansas, that is, not New York.
Must be a different Dr. Zugsmith. And your name?
I'm not sure I'd care to tell you.
Oh, just window shopping.
If I have to tell my family affairs to a total stranger, I have to know if he's a person I could trust.
Anybody ever tell you you're a cute little trick?
I should hope not.
You just need to brighten it up a bit. Put on some makeup. That hat was taken from its mother too young. Let your hair loose. And get a new pair of glasses, those ones with the slinky rims.
Dr. Zugsmith wouldn't permit it.
What's your name? Look, you've already told me enough about yourself for me to find out your whole family history.
Why should you want to do that?
I don't. I'm just sitting here because I don't have any place else to go. I don't want to work. I don't want anything.
You talk too much.
Lonely men always do. Or they don't talk at all. Now, shall we get down to business? Why did you come to me?
I picked your name out of the phone book. It was 7 and 13.
What?
Marlowe has 7 letters, and Philip Marlowe has 13. And 7 together with 13...
What's your name, sister?
Orpha Mae Quest. O-R-F-A-M-A-Y. Orpha Mae.
Orpha Mae.
I live with my mother. Well, my father died 4 years ago. He was a doctor. My brother Orin was going to be one, too. He did 2 years in medical school, but he changed to engineering. And then a year ago, he came out here to work for the Cal Western Company in Bay City.
Bay City.
And he wrote to us regularly, every week. Only the letters stopped 4 months ago. Mother got worried, and I had my vacation, and I came out here to see him. Aren't you going to take any notes?
I'll make the gags. You tell the story. I take it you didn't find Brother Orin?
His address was 449 Idaho Street. It's a very tough neighborhood. At least I thought it was. And the manager of the rooming house was very drunk and very unpleasant. Maybe you don't know Bay City, Mr. Marlowe.
All I know about Bay City is that every time I go there, I have to buy a new head. Shall I finish your story? He's moved and left no address, and you're afraid he's living a life of sin in a penthouse with something in a long mink coat. Or am I being too coarse?
If Orin heard you say that, you'd be sorry. He can be awfully mean. but he's not the sort to do the things you say. Something has happened to him. I called the company, and they said he'd been laid off some time ago. Maybe he's had an accident.
Did it occur to you to ask the police?
Orrin would never forgive me. Our family is not that kind of family. How much would you charge to find him, Mr. Marlowe? You see, all I can afford... Well, I've still got meals to buy, and my hotel to pay, and then the trip back home, and it all adds up. We don't have much money. Mother says the church needs it much more than we do.
Maybe I'd be doing Orrin more of a favor if I didn't find him. How much can you afford?
$20.
Describe him to me.
28. Light brown hair, he brushes straight back. Light blue eyes. And he's very tall, over 6 feet. But thin. Sort of bony. And he had a little blonde mustache, but Mother made him cut it off, because she said...
I know. The minister needed it to stuff a cushion.
No. Don't talk like that about my mother.
Does Orrin have any distinguishing marks, like the 23rd Psalm tattooed on his chest?
Here's a photograph of him.
What does he do for fun?
He takes photographs, candid photographs of people when they don't know he's doing it. He says people ought to see themselves as they really are.
Let's hope it never happens to him. What kind of camera does he use?
A little one. Works in any kind of light. A Leica, that's it.
Well, I'll go down to Bay City and take a look for you. Where's the $20?
Do I have to pay you now?
I'll give you a receipt.
10, 5, and 5, 20. I don't need a receipt.
I do, with your name and address on it.
I can't give you my address.
Well, at least sign your name. Here. Why can't you give me your address?
What would Orrin say?
I don't know. What would he say?
I'll come back.
Make it around 4 o'clock. I might have something then.
I do hope Mother won't think I've done wrong coming to you.
I'll tell you what. I'll put the whole $20 in the safe. Oh. Your mother wouldn't like the idea of me running around loose with that much currency on me.
I think you're very nice. Goodbye.
Hey, open up.
Are you the manager of this rooming house?
Yeah. Or Gibbs.
The manager.
Excuse me.
Let me hold you up, huh?
Must be, I'm kind of a little bit drunky.
Oh, you're not bad. You're still breathing.
Give me a slug of gin. I'm not happy.
Try sitting down.
Yeah. Gin.
Gin.
Where am I?
Sitting down.
How did that happen? Who are you?
I'm looking for Orrin P. Quest.
Moved away.
Moved away when?
Another slug of gin.
Sure.
Gimme. Hey, gimme.
Wouldn't you rather have one of these homemade cigarettes you got lying around?
Gin.
All I want is the present whereabouts of Orrin P. Quest.
Just think of that.
Here's your gin. Where's the register?
Beat it. I got friends.
Is this it? Beside the account books? None of my business what you sell here.
Yeah.
I just want Quest, who was in room 214.
Couple of boys. Take care of you. You don't believe me? Damn. 1, 3, 5, 7, 2. Let me talk to the doc. Vince! The doc! Hey! Hey, hung up.
Where's the bottle?
Here.
Just let me lie down. Yeah. You give it to me.
Yeah.
You're my pal.
I'm your pal. Just give me the passkey, pal. To room 214. Pal.
Hey!
Hey, hold it.
Oh, I beg your pardon. The manager told me this room was vacant.
You could try knocking.
Oh, why would I if it was vacant?
Don't get tough with me.
What do you do with people who get tough with you? Hit them with your toupee?
Lay off my toupee. You should have knocked. I would have had time to put it on.
Don't let me stop you. I thought this was vacant since Oren left. Why are you here?
I was in 215. This is a better room.
So you're Hicks.
How'd you know that?
It's in the register. 215, below 214. I noticed it. George W. Hicks. If you have a blackboard, I'll write it out for you.
Oh, I'm slow today. You're a dick. What kind, city?
Private. Here's the card.
Okay, what's the beef?
I have to find Oren P.
Can't help you. Moved out 10 days ago. I'm a careful guy myself. That's why I'm going, too.
Maybe you don't like reefer smoke.
That and other things. Quest was a respectable type, like me. And maybe a couple of hard boys threw a scare into him.
Why?
You mentioned marijuana, not me. He was the type might go to the cops.
In Bay City? Why would he bother? What's your racket?
Me?
Yeah, how do you make your dibs?
I'm a retired optometrist.
That way you have a .45 in the suitcase?
It's been in the family for years. Just like the one under your arm. What kind of work do you do?
Anything that's reasonably honest.
Reasonably is a word you could stretch.
So is honest. Thanks for your time. I went all the way across the hall to 215 and used the pass key. It was empty. I listened. In 2 minutes, Hicks was on his way. When I went downstairs, Hicks was gone. The manager, Clausen, lay on the couch, dead to the world. The account book showed payments that weren't for rooms, which made me think of the Doc or Vince at 13572. You don't often hear silence in a city, but all of a sudden I could hear silence everywhere. Something was different. The drunk should have been snoring his head off. The reason he wasn't was because someone had driven an ice pick with a wooden handle into the back of his neck. I didn't exceed the speed limit getting away from there, and I didn't give my name to the Bay City cops when I called to report the murder. It took me 15 minutes with the phone book to find the party that went with 13572. Dr. Vincent Lagardi, who called himself a neurologist. I dialed the number and told him the news. He expressed complete surprise. I hung up before he asked my name. It was 4 o'clock.
Well, did you find Oren?
All I could find was that the dump was peddling reefers. Marijuana.
Ugh, how disgusting.
Yeah. Oren must have found out, and then he was scared away.
Is that all you did all day? Find Oren had moved and it was a bad neighborhood? Why, Mr. Marlowe, I found that out for myself. I paid you $20, Mr. Marlowe, for a day's work.
You can have it back. I didn't even bruise it.
I didn't mean it like that.
I don't know why I started this. I was bored. I wondered what you might look like without your glasses. I thought I might like your eyes. It certainly wasn't because I believed you, sister. Why don't you stop lying and tell me the truth?
I have told you.
You've told me nothing. Your brother stopped writing 4 months ago. But you and your precious mother wait till now to start asking questions, and you don't ask the police. Now, maybe Oren is the black sheep of the family.
If you're insinuating that Oren has done something wrong, I can assure you he hasn't. It's not Oren who's the black sheep of our family.
Who is? You? Not your mother?
No. It's none of your business.
I can find out if you have another brother or sister.
I have a sister, Leela. She lives here in Los Angeles, but we don't talk about her. Mother doesn't allow it. And Oren wouldn't contact her. She's nothing to do with us anymore.
Okay. Did Oren always live at Idaho Street?
Yes.
Anything unusual in his last letter?
No.
So for 4 months, your dear mother sits there darning the minister's underwear till your summer vacation comes round and you come out here. Come on, what are you really worried about, Orphame? And where are you staying?
I can't tell you.
Afraid I'll turn up there one night with a quart of hooch under my arm?
Why are you always rude?
Take off your glasses, Orphame.
I can't.
Then let me. Without them, your eyes are really something.
I suppose you do this to all your women clients.
Yeah. Stand up.
I might lose my balance.
Stand up.
In Manhattan, Kansas, you could be arrested for this.
Did you learn that in Manhattan?
They play kissing games at the church socials. I'm sorry I was mean.
I'm sorry I was mean.
Will you keep the $20?
You'll get a day's work for it.
Find Orin for me, please.
Where are you staying, Orphame?
No, I'll call you. Tomorrow. Goodbye.
Damn. Yeah?
Marlo?
Yeah.
This is Hicks. I'm in a jam. I need help. I need something kept in a safe place for a few days. For that, you make a little quick money.
How little? How quick?
$100. He's waiting here for you.
Where's here?
Room 322, Van Nuys Hotel. Not too quick and too slow. Make speed, Marlo.
I'll run all the way.
Close the door, mister. Keep your head turned away. Take one pace forward. Don't ever think I'm fooling. I know how to use this gun.
Is that what you did to Hicks on the bed?
So look round. Step forward.
Okay. I like your voice. Nice voice is gone. Now, if I was a smart detective, I would follow the minute trail of blood, my blood, on the heel of her shoe. But I'm just old and have spent my life looking in the rooms of cheap hotels. Last known to me is George W. Hicks. How did you die, George? Why, an ice pick. A very expert ice pick job, puncturing the spinal cord in one. Neat. What did you want me to keep for you, George? It must have been small. They've searched everywhere here and don't seem to have found it. Coat linings, inside the telephone, even the toothpaste tube, under the carpet, even your hat. Now, where would I hide something small if I were you, George? I'd keep it under my hat. They didn't know you were bald. Aha. Are they ready?
Yes, Mr. Hicks. They're here, Mr. Hicks.
What time does the camera shop close?
We close at 5:30 in a couple of minutes.
I'll call in the morning. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Under his wig had been taped a claim check for a Bay City camera shop. So that's what was worth money to him. I'd looked through his wallet. He had no real identification, just business cards in the name of Dr. G.W. Hambleton and $164 in currency. Nothing to show why the photos were important. I put the claim check in an envelope, addressed it to myself, special delivery, and mailed it. Then I went to see the house detective, a man named Flack, who passed his tired days looking for an extra buck.
Are you back again?
Dr. Hambleton doesn't answer his door.
So?
You got me his registration, remember, before I went up to see him?
Yeah. I did it for nothing, too.
I knocked several times. No answer.
Well, what should I do? Bust my girdle?
The door wasn't locked. Want to see a nice ice pick job?
Oh, Christ. I'm off at 7. Couldn't you have waited? I guess it's call the cops time.
It's not your fault. It even happens in good hotels.
So, yeah. Come up and you unlock the door, Flack.
Yeah, with the passkey.
You unlock it and you come in and it's just like Marlowe here said?
That's it. Now, you know, Lieutenant, I figure an ice pick job's a dame's work. You can buy them anywhere for 10 cents. Small, sharp, don't need strength. If you want one fast, you can slip it down inside a garter and let it hang there.
What kind of dames you been running around with?
Huh?
You hearing, Beefus?
The way stockings cost nowadays, a dame would as soon stick a sword down her sock.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah, we'll leave us to the thinking, huh, sweetheart? Hey, Lieutenant, whoever did the search used cheap cotton gloves, no prints.
Nah, a woman would keep stabbing. Ice pick jobs are a specialty. Now, you need to know how to hit the spinal cord. This is an expert job. Remember Sonny Mo Stein, Marlo?
I remember him.
His boys worked that technique back in Brooklyn. It got so you couldn't walk across a vacant lot without finding some of their handiwork. And they come out here, what was left of them. I wonder why.
Maybe we have more vacant lots.
It's a funny thing, though. When Weepy Moyer had the chill put on Sonny Mo over on Franklin Avenue last February, the killer used a gun. Sonny Mo wouldn't have liked that.
Hey, who's this Weepy Moyer?
He was next to Stein in the organization. This could be his work. Not personally, of course.
What, this? A gangland killing? In my hotel?
Why not? Not that I can prove anything. Mr. Moyer has another name now, and he's a gentleman. Knows the nicest people. No, nobody calls him Weepy. And he was even safe in our jail when Stein was killed.
What charge?
The gambling rap back in Cleveland. Turned out they didn't want him. But we gave him a sweet alibi.
We didn't even prove the guy we had was Moyer.
He was, I swear.
I don't know what to make of this G.W. Hamilton. It's a phony name. He has no identity, no driver's license, car keys, nothing. And he's definitely not in the chips, only $14 in his wallet. How much did he offer you, Marlo?
$100. Said it was waiting.
He was lying.
So it seems.
Is that all you need with me, Lieutenant? I'm off at 7.
Did you get a chance to check this guy's visitors?
No. You don't have to pass reception to get to the elevators.
That could be why he came here. What, he wanted you to keep something for him, Marlo?
Yeah. I don't know what or why.
We'll leave this for the technical boys. That's all.
Not quite. It's a neat toupee, but it's still a wig.
Smart. Hey, I didn't notice that. Take it off, Bates.
Well.
All I see is a guy with no hair.
Maybe you never knew him. He used to be a runner for the DeVore mob. Hence he was called Mile Away Marston. A very cheap grifter. Well, that's a load off my mind. This will be no 24-hour-a-day job. To hell with the punk. Let's go.
After you, Marlo.
Oh, you guys go ahead. I want a word with Flack.
See you downstairs.
There, something you want?
Yeah, $150.
I got business to attend to.
Hamilton had $164 in his wallet when I searched him. He promised me $100, remember? I left this door open. But when we came up, you unlocked it.
You're not making sense.
You locked it yourself after you went in and stole the money.
Well, it wasn't doing him any good. 50-50?
You can keep it.
What?
I want something else. You must have followed me up here the first time. What did you see?
What should I tell you?
The cops will understand that I was protecting a client here, but you have the stolen money and no protection. Let's go and tell them.
Hey, you were a little late to protect her. She came out ready to run, saw me, walked, checked the key as if nothing had happened, went down the street to a car.
Describe the woman.
Why, she didn't want me to see her face. A blonde, white coat, blue straw hat, 5'2", big dark glasses, a stunner.
Would you recognize her again without the dark glasses?
What, you think those dark cheaters would fool old Flacky? I've seen too many movies not to know Mavis Weld when I see her.
Thanks for the name.
Well, I thought you said she was a client. Okay. I can still use that information.
I thought I heard a church bell.
A church? Is that platinum brain of yours getting cracks in it?
Just one bell. Tolling is the word, I believe.
I don't hear anything.
Oh, you wouldn't. You'd be the one guy in the whole world who wouldn't hear it. Bye-bye, Flacky. I bought Mavis Wells' phone number from an assistant props man at the studios for $10. A Crestview number. If you don't have a Crestview number in Hollywood, you're a bum. I called, checked the address, said I was being sent by the studios with some photographs. A Mexican accent told me to come up. Miss Weld, please.
You can give me the stills, amigo.
Well, for Miss Weld personally. Sorry.
She's taking a bath.
I'll wait.
Are you sure you have the stills? I don't see any package, amigo.
Oh, I'm sure.
What sort of photographs are they? What is your name?
Miss Gonzalez, I thought your last picture was wonderful.
But it was positively goddamn stinking, you lovely man.
Nothing with you in it stinks for me, Miss Gonzalez.
Come in. We will have a drink. I adore flattery, however dishonest. Mavis, darling, a man is here who says he is from the studio. Muy simpático. Con cojones. Scotch, amigo?
Thanks.
You may call me Dolores. What may I call you? Not that it matters what you tell me, since it will be just another lie.
Tell me, What kind of bath is Miss Weld taking? Old-fashioned soap or Arabian spices?
Find out for yourself. The door is probably not locked.
Not if it's that easy.
Are you a rapist?
No.
But you like to do the difficult things in life, no? I must try to be less approachable. But I can't fight my nature. Here's your drink, you sweet son of a bitch. I live at the Chateau Bercy on Franklin Avenue.
Gosh. Alone?
Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so worn. I'm so incredibly tired. Now, what is in your wallet, amigo? What is your name? Well, a license. Philip Marlowe, private investigator. What do you wish to investigate here, amigo?
So glad to see you two got acquainted.
Oh.
I didn't know you bothered to find out their names, Dolores.
At least I haven't been sleeping with any gunmen.
Are you sure you could remember? I was hoping you'd be gone.
I'm leaving. See you again, Philip Marlowe. I hope those stills aren't too expensive.
Suppose you do the same, Dreamboat. Make with the feet.
I came here on business, Miss Wells.
I can imagine. I don't know you. I don't want to know you. And even if I did, this wouldn't be the day or the hour.
If you're going to stand that close to me, maybe you'd better put more on than a gown.
Wouldn't you really rather I took it off like this?
I don't go after every pair of legs I see.
Did I hurt you?
Yeah.
Good, now get out.
I might just happen to be working for you, Miss Wells.
Oh, I thought I'd seen all the approaches. And if I can't scare you, beat you, or seduce you, what the hell can I buy you with? Money, of course. How damn stupid of me to overlook that.
Money would help.
Fix me a drink, scotch.
Sure.
How much money?
$100 would do to start with.
Is $100 money in your circle, darling?
I'll make it 200. I could retire on that.
Every week, of course, in a nice, clean envelope.
Your drink.
And what would I get for this money, my darling gumshoe?
You'd get a receipt.
You cheap grifter. I'm sorry I missed you. And that, I believe, has used up my entire stock of girlish charm.
The money would be just a retainer for me to represent you. I never thought you killed Hambleton. But it would help to know why you were in that hotel.
I wouldn't give you cause there.
Look, you're going to find this hard to believe. But I had the quaint idea that you might be a girl who needed some help. Because you went to that hotel room to make a payoff. Because you had to take the risk of being recognized. And were recognized. It made me think you were in one of those Hollywood jams that really mean curtains. And all you give me is B pictures.
All I see is a blackmailer.
Okay, you don't need anybody. You're smart. You're so smart. Okay, I'm wasting my time. You don't need me. Goodbye, sister.
Excuse me. I'm in your way.
You don't need a key. The door isn't locked.
Of course. How stupid of me.
Anybody is stupid that bothers with that tramp.
Since in Miss Wells we have a friend in common, let me introduce myself. My name's Steelgrave. Haven't I seen you somewhere?
My name is Marlowe. No, you haven't. We are unlikely to have met, and I have never even heard of you, and I wouldn't care even if your name was Weepy Moyer.
Weepy Moyer? Peculiar name. Don't think I ever heard it.
You have to be unusually fond of ice picks. She's waiting for you, straight out of the bath.
I drove to La Brea, turned north, swung over to Highland, out over Cahanga Pass, and down onto Ventura Boulevard. I drove on, past the gaudy neons and the sleazy hamburger joints that looked like palaces under the colors. Behind Encino, the lights winked from the houses of the screen stars. Star of a thousand beds. Hold it, Marlowe. You're not human tonight. I eat dinner at a place near Thousand Oaks. A feed 'em and throw 'em out business. Don't sit around over coffee. You're using money space. I stepped out into the night air that nobody had yet found out how to option, but they'd get around to it. You're not human tonight, Marlowe. I drove to the Oxnard cutoff and turned back along the ocean. A great, fat, solid Pacific trudged into shore like a scrub woman going home. No harsh, wild smell of the sea. It was a California ocean. California, the department store state. The most of everything and the best of nothing. Here we go again, Marla. You're not human tonight. Why should I be? Who am I cutting my throat for this time? Maybe it's not my business. What is my business? I drove past Malibu. More movie stars. More wind-blown hair and sunglasses. And tufted beds. Lots of nice people working pictures, too. They're not human tonight. I smelled Los Angeles before I got to it. But the colored lights fooled me. I bought a neon monument to the man who invented neon light. There's a boy who really made something out of nothing. You're not human tonight. My office was dark when I went back to collect the camera shop claim check I'd posted to myself special delivery. They put the lights on.
Mr. Marlowe?
Who else?
My name is Toad. Joseph P. Toad. Go ahead and laugh. I'm used to it.
Who's the junkie with you, Mr. Toad?
That's Alfred. Say, how do you do to Mr. Marlowe, Alfred?
In a pig's valise.
Careful, Alfred, with a gun.
In a pig's valise.
Don't worry, Mr. Marlowe. It is unloaded. I have the magazine. Alfred's not reliable lately because of his habit. When he pulled the trigger, did it scare you? You ain't so tough.
You know what I just happen to have under my arm? A Luger. This Luger is loaded. Do you want me to prove it to you?
I'm sorry you take it like that. I'm so used to Alfred's little tricks, I hardly notice him. Maybe I ought to do something about it.
Do it this afternoon, before you came up here.
Please, I've got a nice little proposition.
You've got to be careful, Mr. Toad, about firearms. You never know. It may upset a man to have a .45 snapped in his face when he doesn't know it's not loaded. It's making my hand twitch. I'm not sure I can control it. I'm like Alfred. I haven't had a shot of morphine since lunchtime.
Maybe we played this wrong. Mind if I put my hand in my pocket? I don't wear a gun.
Go ahead. I would love you to try to pull a gun.
Now here is $500 for doing nothing. You ain't looking for nobody. You couldn't find nobody. You don't have time to work for nobody, okay?
Who am I to do this for?
You could call me a guy that wants to help out a guy that don't want to make trouble for a guy. Now, this guy would rather spill money than blood, but he don't mind spilling blood if that's what he's got to do.
How is he with an ice pick?
We're not talking about ice picks.
Blondes?
Maybe you're too far in. Maybe it's too late to do business. I'll check back with my principal and see how far he wants to come. Everything stands as it is till you hear from me. Keep the dough. Come on, Alfred. We're just bit players, Marlowe. You understand?
Take the money, Alfred.
In a pig's valise.
Buy yourself a new vein. I'd had enough for one day. My brain felt like a bucket of wet sand. I wanted to go home, but the special delivery messenger came, and then Miss Manhattan, Kansas, phoned to tell me, all a twitter, that she had heard from Orrin. He must have been a better detective than me. I couldn't find out where she was staying. But then she mentioned murder, so I sat down and got out the bottle and waited for her to come up.
How nice of you to wait for me. And I bet you haven't had your dinner yet.
I have.
Oh.
I am now drinking whiskey. You don't approve of whiskey drinking, do you?
I certainly do not.
Did anybody I know get murdered? I can see you didn't. Not yet.
Orrin did phone me. I know you don't believe me, but he did. He wouldn't tell me where he was, but he said the horrid man in the rooming house was murdered.
Orphime, I'm not going to ask you how you know this or how Orrin knows it. You found him. That's what you hired me for. The job is finished.
But he wouldn't tell me where he was.
Here. Take your $20. Endow a hospital or an orphanage with it. It makes me nervous having it around.
But you must find Orrin. Take my glasses off again, Philip.
I smell of whiskey.
I don't mind.
They make quite a difference, those glasses. You're a cute little trick without them, Orphime. Cute enough to be in motion pictures. You said you had a sister, Leela, living in L.A. What name does she use in the movies?
I never said she was in pictures. You mind your own business about my sister, Leela. You leave my sister out of your dirty remarks.
What dirty remarks?
I hate you!
Marlo, you're not human tonight. The next morning in Bay City, I exchanged the claim check for an envelope containing a negative and 6 enlarged prints. It was a picture of Mavis Weld sitting in a restaurant with a man. The decor showed it to be a smart spot called The Dancers, where they are not keen on people taking candid shots of the customers. So it must have been a hidden camera trick, easy with a Leica, the kind of picture Orrin had a taste for. Hicks must have grabbed it often. But why? Why had she come to pay him off? What was the blackmail angle? Why 2 deaths? What was the gangland connection? There was an evening paper lying on the restaurant table, and with a magnifying glass, I could just make out a headline, "Light Heavyweight Contender Succumbs to Ring Injuries." A friend on the paper put a date on it, February 20th. He also told me that was the night Sonny Moe Stein was shot twice in the head, not far from a block of flats on Franklin called the Chateau Bercy, while the police held a restaurant owner called Steelgrave, whom I had met last night. Yeah?
Marlo? This is Toad. Do you know a man called Sheridan Ballou?
Nope.
You should look him up. He's a big agent.
Is he Mavis Weld's agent?
He could be. Look him up.
Looking up Mr. Sheridan Ballou is no easy operation. Getting past his receptionist was the hardest work I'd done for a month. I even began to feel sorry for actors. Ballou had an office that was 2 stories high. The Concert Grand Steinway in the corner looked a little lost. He was a big, strong guy, but he lay on a couch while a lissom blonde laid a cold white towel on his head. He lifted his head long enough to look at the photograph of Mavis and her boyfriend, and then he had a relapse. I had cut off the part which showed the newspaper.
The piece that's cut out would be the punchline, no doubt. How much?
You don't want to buy anything.
No. How much?
Here's the other piece. With a magnifying glass, you can read the headline on the newspaper.
All I see is Mavis Weld, a client of mine, having lunch in a public place, The Dancers, with the owner of that restaurant, Mr. Steelgrave. Hardly disastrous for the reputation of my client, which I take it is what you have in mind. How much?
I always wonder why people pay blackmailers. It never ends. You always are just where you started.
The fear of today, Mr. Marlowe, always overrides the fear of tomorrow. It's a basic fact of the dramatic emotions that the part is greater than the whole. If you see a glamour star on the screen in a position of great danger, you fear for her with one part of your mind, the emotional part. Notwithstanding that, your reasoning mind knows that she is the star of the picture and nothing very bad is going to happen to her. If suspense and menace didn't defeat reason, there would be very little drama.
Or split personalities.
If I pay, I'll get what I bought, or you can get beaten to a pulp.
I don't think we're going to do any business, Mr. Ballou. You're a busy man. I'll take myself off.
My client tells me that a private eye named Marlowe tried last night to force her to hire him on the grounds that she was seen inconveniently close to where a murder was committed.
I bet she also suggested that somebody shut my mouth.
She did?
Did she suggest how?
I got the impression she favored a heavy, blunt instrument. But I gather Mr. Toad couldn't bribe you and didn't even scare you.
They scared me plenty.
Mr. Marlowe, what do you want?
What I wanted from her and couldn't get. The right to act in her interest up to the point where I decide I can't go any farther.
To explain why you suppressed evidence like this picture?
If it is evidence. The cops can't solve this without smearing her. Maybe I can. They wouldn't care. I do.
Solve what?
The man who took that photograph is missing. He's probably dead. Two other men who lived at the same address are dead. One of them was trying to peddle these pictures just before he got dead.
What's so important about the photo?
The boyfriend, Steelgrave. There was a tip that he was really a Cleveland Red Hot called Weepy Moyer, so the cops pulled him in. While they were holding him, another Red Hot was shot to death on the very day this picture was taken. Now, how did Steelgrave happen to be having lunch with his movie star girlfriend when he was supposed to be in jail, which was his cast iron alibi for the murder? She knows. She knows who he is. I met him last night. He still has her door key. It seems she doesn't mind. Well, maybe that's her business. But if she gets fixed in the public mind as a gangster's girl, she is through in your business.
Name your price.
$500 and a signed letter employing my services to investigate an attempt to blackmail one of your clients.
One of these days, I'm going to make the mistake which a man in my position dreads above all other mistakes. I'm going to find myself doing business with a man I can trust, and I'm going to be just too goddamn smart to trust him. I think I should trust you, Mr. Marlowe.
When I went out, the receptionist gave me her Saturday night smile. I had been a whole 40 minutes with the boss. I had to be important. I also got a pass to the studios. I would get to see how it was done behind the scenes and get to see the stars. Mavis Weld was wearing a wet sharkskin swimsuit. She was climbing onto a portion of boat deck in front of a projection of sunny seas, smiling, smiling. She was going to be a star. She had it, whatever it was. After the scene, she took me into her dressing room. The pale glow of her skin seemed to fill the little room.
So, ask me the questions, Marlowe.
Who is Steelgrave?
A man I've known for some time and liked. Where he comes from, that I don't know.
Has he ever had any trouble with the police?
The man is worth a couple of $1 million.
How did he get it?
I wouldn't know.
No? Show him the photo. Ask him what it means.
It's too late. You've nothing to sell, Marlowe. Except perhaps your life.
Would you want to buy me?
How much are you worth?
$40 a day in expenses. I take 25. I've taken less.
Little lonely dollars. Are they very lonely?
Lonely as lighthouses. Show them the picture. The cops would love to know I hid it from them. As long as they don't find out, I have a license. As long as somebody else doesn't find out, I don't have an ice pick in the back of my neck. Would you say I was in an overpaid profession?
I can't afford you, Marlowe. All I have is money. There was a time... There was a time when I was innocent and young. Don't remind me of it. Leave me alone.
I'm working for you, Duchess. Yeah?
Oren's in trouble.
We've been through that routine, Orpheme.
This is serious. He got the letter. letter I wrote. He picked it up at the post office. He called me from Bay City.
What address?
He's staying with a doctor, working for him. A Dr. Vincent Lagardi.
Vince, the doc.
Oren's in a lot of trouble. Some gangsters are after him.
Oh, don't be silly, Orphan. They don't have gangsters in Bay City. They're all working in pictures.
Please go down there and help him.
I'm in trouble myself.
Why?
Telling lies. It always catches up with me. I'm not as lucky as some people.
I'm not lying. Please go down there. Please.
The little bell had rung. The one that rings far back and is not loud, but you'd better hear it. I looked at my dusty office, the same broken promise of a life of ease. I opened my desk drawer and took out the Luger and strapped it on. I fitted my hat on my head. On the way out, I looked at my face in the mirror. It looked as if I had made up my mind to drive off a cliff.
What is it? I am not seeing any patients today.
I'm a private detective. We talked on the phone once, Doc, about a rooming house manager called Clawson.
I do not remember.
I'm looking for a Mr. Oren P. Quest.
There's no one of that name here.
Then why would he tell his sister he was working for you, Dr. Lagardi?
I do not know. Sit down. I'm afraid we're in a state of confusion today.
Oh, that's a big sterilizer. You've got a lot of needles cooking in it.
Why are you looking for this person?
Oh, we'll get there. About those needles... A couple of years back, I had a case down here concerned a Dr. Almore, Altair Street. He used to go out nights with a case of hypodermic needles. Drunks, rich junkies, of whom there are more than people think. Insomniacs, all the neurotic types that can't take it cold. He helped them over the humps. It gets to be all humps after a while, but that's good business. He died a while back of his own medicine.
You think I have inherited his practice?
Somebody would.
I have dealt with addicts. What doctor has not, but I do not have that sort of practice.
It must be smelling all that marijuana smoke yesterday while Clawson tried to call you.
Why do you think Quest is here?
Hiding out. On account of he's too quick with his little Leica.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am sure the Bay City police would like to talk to you. Shall I call them?
Why not? We'll both be in the clink by nightfall, Doc. You, for your connection with Clawson. Me, for doing little things that Gumshoe never gets away with, like hiding evidence. Oh, but I'm through. Very much through. But there's a wild perfume in the air this afternoon. I don't seem to care. Or I'm in love.
Or you have been drinking. Huh?
Only Chanel number 5, Doc. And the pale glow of lovely legs and the invitation of deep blue eyes.
Hmm. Yes, yes, I treated Clausen. He was an alcoholic. I practice among dirty little people in a dirty little town. It makes me feel dirty. I am a graduate of the Sorbonne, but something happened a few years ago in another city.
Was it Cleveland?
That is a very wild suggestion.
I'm talking about a photograph of an ex-Cleveland gangster having lunch on a certain day with a movie queen, when said gangster is supposed to be in the city jail. Her little brother took the picture. Is this still wild?
It begins to have possibilities. Have a cigarette. They're very good.
Imported.
Go on.
Thanks. The little brother lived in a rooming house where lived a man who called himself Hicks, who muscled in on the blackmail and got dead, just like Clawson. Both from very expertly placed ice picks in the neck. Oren had a couple of years at medical school. Now, I'll tie you in. Why did he take that particular photograph on that particular day? It's only valuable to someone who knows Steelgrave is an ex-Cleveland Red Hot called Weepy. It had to be somebody from Cleveland. You can't change your name and keep your medical license, Dr. Lagardi. I checked. You had an office suite downtown in Cleveland.
Let me light your cigarette, huh?
Nice. Now, you're here in Dirty Bay City. Why? Oren's sister tells me Oren is here. Why? Somebody had to be the brains, Doc. And it wasn't Clawson. Oren. Or Hicks. They had to be used. What's
going on here.
Why? There's nothing to fear. A little potassium hydrocyanide. Merely relaxing. Not likely to be fatal.
Orin. Hey, where are you hurt? Oh, two wounds. How did you crawl in here with those two bullet holes in you and an ice pick in your hand? Where's my gun? Still on me. Hasn't been fired. LaGuardie didn't do this. If he was a killer, he'd have finished me. I don't get it. What the hell is going on? Orin? Orin, you're back to innocence. It was time to go. I was too far outside the law already. I felt as low as a badger's belly. It was time to stop on the way out of Bay City and make another anonymous call. Who are you? Just a lucky boy who keeps finding bodies. Wonderful what Hollywood will do to a nobody. It'll make a glamour queen out of a drab little wench. A He-Man hero out of an overgrown kid who was meant to go to work with a lunch pail. Out of a Texas car hop, it will make an international courtesan, married 6 times to 6 millionaires. And at the end of it, her idea of a thrill is to seduce the furniture mover. And out of a small town prig, it might even make an ice pick murderer. In a matter of months, elevating his simple meanness into the classic sadism of the multiple killer. Hollywood. I got back to my office.
Ah, at last. I've waited here so long, amigo. I've not had any lunch.
I have. Cyanide. I've only just stopped looking blue.
I'm not in an amusing mood today.
I amuse myself. Well, do you always wear black, Miss Gonzalez?
It is more exciting when I take my clothes off.
Do you have to talk like a whore?
Would you like to go to bed with me, Philip Marlowe?
What's your urgent business? Going to bed with you can be done any time.
Oh, I do not draw a very sharp line between sex and business. Sex is a net with which I catch fools. Some of these fools are useful. And, gentlemen, occasionally one of them is dangerous.
Steelgrave. I know who he is.
You and I could make love and make money, too. He was my boyfriend.
I'm not a hell of a lot interested in your love life. I assume it covers a wide field, all the way from Stein to Steelgrave.
Who is Stein?
Sonny Moe. He got shot outside your apartment block. I thought you might have met him. Or were you looking out of your window and saw the killer run away? And just under a streetlight, he looked back. And darn if it wasn't friend Steelgrave. You recognized him by his rubber nose and the fact that he was wearing his tall hat with the pigeons on it.
Steelgrave was in jail.
So I have been told.
Even if I happen to be friendly, amigo, with the county jail physician, Dr. Chalmers. And even if he told me, in an intimate moment, that he had given Steelgrave a pass to go to the dentist on the very day Stein was shot? Even if all this happened to be true, would it be wise to blackmail Steelgrave?
You've got a point, Dolores.
But if we know that Mavis Weld is a close friend of a known gangster, she will soon be getting $75,000 and then $150,000 a picture. Nothing will stop her except possibly a bad scandal.
Well, tell me this, Dolores. While we're putting the bite on Miss Weld, what's Steelgrave doing?
She doesn't have to know. I don't think she would tell him or stay with him.
What do we use for proof?
This photograph of the two of them together, I took it from her dressing room today.
Oh, Dolores, why don't you just get the hell out of here? Huh? I'll never make a blackmailer. I lack the engaging personality.
And I thought you were smart.
It never occurred to you I might just be doing a job?
It is my mistake. One look at this shabby little office should have told me.
Ah, breeze on out, Miss Gonzalez, and close the door.
Too bad for you, amigo.
Yeah?
This is Lieutenant French. We'd like to see you down at headquarters, Marlo.
Right away?
Make it sooner.
I drove off a cliff. Yeah?
You don't have to tell me. I went down there. I saw you go in. I tried to go after you when you came out, but I lost you. So I went back, and I just knew I had to get inside that house.
So you called the cops?
They got in and found Oren.
You told the cops about me, too?
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. I'm glad of that. Good luck if I don't see you again.
You can keep it. I wouldn't want it. You left him lying on the floor.
Marlo, sit down. Meet Lieutenant McGlashan of the Bay City Police. He doesn't like you any better than we do. Now, why don't you start at the beginning?
You want me to make a statement?
Nah, just put in all the stuff you suppressed yesterday.
This statement to be voluntary and without coercion?
They all are.
Yeah.
What are you putting one glove on for, man?
I bite my nails. Funny, only on my right hand. Some guys are more voluntary than others, you know. Something to do with the kidneys, they tell me. I've known not-so-voluntaries who had to go to the can every 15 minutes for weeks. Couldn't seem to hold water.
How about the ones who have to sit in a chair like this for 30 hours straight and then fall down and happen to burst a bladder? Should have seen a doctor, but you can't figure everything, eh, Lieutenant?
I could do lovely business with you. Just lovely.
What makes you Bay City cops so tough? You pickle your nuts in salt water, is it?
Look, I come up here to get cooperation. The big razoo I can get from home.
You'll get it. Just don't try to steal the picture. Now, Marlo, you want to talk or get booked as a material witness?
Ask your questions. If you don't like the answers, then book me, and I get to make a phone call.
If we book you. This could take days, not strictly legal, but we're not as ethical as you. Now cast your mind back to Idaho Street and a dead man called Clausen.
I went there looking for Oren Quest. My client was his sister.
Your former client. She told us.
He was gone. Clausen was drunk. I talked to another man who was in Quest's room. He left. When I got downstairs, Clausen was dead. I called the police.
You didn't give no name. You didn't stick around.
I had no information about Clausen.
In Bay City, we could murder you for that.
In Bay City, you could murder me for wearing a blue tie.
So what happened next?
The call to go to the Van Nuys Hotel.
Where the man you met in the rooming house is lying dead, also killed by an ice pick in the neck. You could have told us.
It could have violated my agreement with my client.
A murder wipes out such agreements, especially two murders by the same method. You know, you don't look good, not even to your client after today. She turned you in, Marlon.
She told me her brother had called her from Dr. Lagardi's house. I was to take care of him. He was supposed to be in danger. Lagardi slipped me a doped cigarette. When I came to, Oren Quest was dying on the floor with an ice pick in his hand.
Even if the kid had an ice pick, that don't prove he was born holding one.
This one was filed down to 3 inches. They don't come that way from the hardware store.
How much longer we got to bother around with this monkey? You talk to him like he was human. I think I'll put my glove on again.
The captain doesn't like this.
Hell with a captain.
And the captain doesn't like small-town cops saying to hell with him. Now let the guy speak his piece.
Clausen was probably pushing reefers. I saw account books there. Quest got wise. Now, according to his sister, he told her that some gangsters were after him. So he was hiding out at the doctor's and working for him.
And what have you got on Lagarde?
He used to practice in Cleveland. A big practice, downtown. He must have had reasons to hide out in Bay City.
Yeah, I like the reefer angle. It explains. Might cut down on my work considerable. I'm only interested in the local angle. The rest is up to you. Thanks for the cooperation. Come to Bay City any time, Marlo.
The rest is up to us. Why the search of the room in the Van Nuys Hotel?
Well, I guess they'd be looking for a claim check. Probably for a suitcase full of weed. Mm-hmm. It's small enough to be taped under a wig.
Sounds plausible. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Cleveland.
The ice picks made you think of Weepy Moyer and Sonny Moe. With those guys, there's always a medic in the background.
That's a pretty wild connection.
Well, would I do myself any good if I tightened it up?
Can you?
I can try.
Now, you got another client?
I have an agreement.
The Quest girl is okay. I talked to her mother in Kansas. She really did come out to look for her brother. You make any money on the deal?
She didn't have much. I gave it back to her.
The next move is up to the DA. Don't leave town, Marlowe.
I sat down in my office and watched the light fade. The neon signs began to glare at each other across the boulevard. There was something to be done, but I didn't know what. Whatever it was would be useless. I leaned back and just sat, not smoking, not even thinking. I was a blank man. I had no face, no meaning, no personality, hardly a name, just a gun under my arm. I didn't want to eat. I didn't even want to drink. I was a page from yesterday's calendar crumbled at the bottom of the wastebasket. So I dialed Mavis Wells' number. The phone just rang. No answer. I wanted somebody to call me, to plug me back into the human race again. Even a cop. I just wanted to get off this frozen star. Yeah?
Amigo, there is trouble. Bad trouble. She wants to see you.
Where?
I will come for you. It is not easy to get to where we go.
How is it coming back? Or don't we care?
We go west, through Beverly Hills.
Why didn't Mavis call me?
She couldn't. She was not alone. I am very scared. Did you bring a gun?
What would I need a gun for?
It's better not that. Will you make love to me tonight?
Just for a while. Let's leave sex to one side, huh? Your side of the car. I can't drive like this.
I'm so tired. I haven't slept. I don't expect you to believe me, but I wouldn't hurt Mavis Webb.
What about me?
I would love you.
I used to like this town a long time ago. There were trees along Wilshire Boulevard. Beverly Hills was a country town. Los Angeles was just a big, dry, sunny place. No style, but good-hearted. People used to sleep out on their porches. It's peaceful. Now we've got the big money, the sharpshooters, the percentage workers, the fast dollar boys, hoodlums out of New York and Cleveland. They've got the flash restaurants and nightclubs they run, and the hotels and apartment houses they own, and the grifters and female bandits that live in them. The riffraff of a big, hard-boiled city with no more personality than a paper cup.
It is the same in all big cities, amigo. It was the same in Cleveland. Turn right at Los Canyon Road. Here.
Something stinks here, Dolores, and it isn't wild lilac. Is this road the only way out of here?
There is another, but it is a private road through an estate. And that is the house ahead.
No lights. Why are there no lights in a gambling house?
Put in here.
What's the matter?
Kiss me. I'm being very foolish.
Is Steelgrave in there?
Yes.
Who else?
Just Mavis. Oh, he will kill her, too. With Stein, it did not matter. I would have killed that filth myself gladly. To die is not much. To kill is not much. But to entice people to their death. Mavis took him away from me, but I do not want him to kill her. You think you are tough, amigo? You are a very soft peach compared to him. I have known him a long time. I knew him in Cleveland. Here, if I give you this gun, will you kill him for me?
Would you believe me if I promised?
Yes.
I'd kill him if I had to.
Here it is. Good night, amigo. I wear black because I am lost.
She drove away. The gun was a .32 caliber automatic with a white bone handle. It had been fired since it was cleaned. Fired twice. Orrin Quest had been shot twice, and I had 32 shells from his room in my pocket. I went inside the house. It was very large and empty. It was dark. I was a fellow who wanted company in a dark place and was willing to pay a high price for it. All I had was a Luger under my arm and a .32 in my hand. Then I found the main room and found the light. It was amber, and the furnishings were apricot. The beige table stood shrouded in the middle of the floor. A blonde in a pale fur coat stood leaning by the side of a high-backed chair.
Hello, Marla. I think you came too late.
Too late for what?
I didn't think you'd find me.
Miss Gonzalez brought me.
Oh, she'll be disappointed as all hell.
Why?
She put you on the spot, just as she did Stein.
Why am I too late?
I need a drink. Or maybe I'll fall down.
The bar is over there.
I don't think I can walk.
Then let me. Can you hold a glass?
Where's yours?
I don't need any more excitement. Here.
Thanks. Are you excited?
Yeah. It's been a lot of bodies and a lot of beautiful women in a couple of days for a beat-up gumshoe. Where's Steelgrave?
I don't really know what kind of a man you are, do I? I liked you. I should be beyond such nonsense.
Where's Steelgrave?
He thought he had to kill you.
And you sent for me? Were you that fond of him?
I met a nice, quiet little man who knew how to behave in public and who didn't shoot his charm around. Yes, I liked him. I thought he just owned a restaurant. I should be beyond such nonsense. In the end, I liked him with this.
Give it to me.
Don't you have enough guns?
Give it to me, Lila.
He killed my brother.
Orrin was no angel.
But he didn't have to kill him. Why don't you call the police and get it over with? Take the gun.
They make a pair. .32 caliber automatics with white bone handles. Both fired. Dolores gave me the other one. Is he in the chair?
Yes. I can move now.
He was small.
I was very close. I couldn't miss. Can I have another drink?
We'll both have one. Tell me about the photograph.
I got a copy in the mail a couple of days after that lunch.
After Stein was killed?
Yes.
Did you think Steelgrave killed Stein?
Not until tonight. Orrin never mentioned the photograph to me. He didn't have to. I knew only he could have taken it. But he did ask for money.
Did you tell Steelgrave?
I showed him the photograph. I didn't tell him about Orrin.
Then how did he find him? It's going to cost a lot to fix this.
Protect my precious career? It's too late. And I don't have a lot of money.
It's why I'm here. I work for you, Duchess.
The studio won't help me now. Baloo won't. They'll take their loss and forget about me in 6 months. I'm through in Hollywood.
Where did you get this gun?
Steelgrave gave it to me as a present some time ago.
Did you intend to kill him?
Why not, darling?
Let me make one phone call. Did he give Dolores the other one? Pour us another drink, darling.
Hello?
Did you really mean to put me on the spot?
Amigo, I'm glad to hear your voice.
Did you?
I don't know. Is he there?
He is and he isn't.
Who else is there?
There's just me and my homework. Now, Dolores, this is deadly important. Did Steelgrave give you the bone handle 32?
Yes.
When?
Early this evening.
Why?
He just asked me to keep it. You haven't told me what happened.
I haven't even telephoned you. Nothing is the way it seems. Mavis, get in your car and go home.
You can't fix this.
You're my client.
I can't let you. I killed him. Why should you be dragged into it?
When you leave, go by the private road. Do you know the way?
Yes. But don't you believe me? I killed him.
I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for Lieutenant French. I'm giving him his chance to clear it all up.
Why did I always know I would end up trusting you?
Because to me, you are Leela Quest, who ran away from Manhattan, Kansas, and a rotten family. Not Mavis Weld, movie queen. Now go, quickly. Move. Move. I rinsed the glasses and put away the bottle. From the pair of bone-handled guns, I took the one Dolores had given me, the one that killed Orin, and pressed it into Steelgrave's small, limp hand. Then I took the gun that killed Steelgrave and fired it into the wall behind him until the two guns were identical in every way. Then I laid it on a table, and I called Lieutenant Christy French.
So, yeah. Waited this time, Marlowe.
Didn't touch nothing?
He looks dead. Both guns been fired, Bayfus?
Yeah. The one the corpse had was fired hours ago.
Yeah, down at Bay City, into Orin Quest.
Yeah? These guns are twins. We better tag them right away, Bayfus. Let's not get confused.
Okay.
Tell us what you know, Marlowe.
A girl I know, Dolores Gonzalez, called me this evening and said a client of mine was in danger from him. She drove me up here.
Uh-huh. Who's the client?
I can't tell you yet.
Who is she?
I want a guarantee of no publicity unless charges are actually filed.
Come on, you're just making it tough for all of us.
I won't give you any guarantee whatsoever.
God damn it, this man killed Orin Quest. Take that gun and check it against the bullets in Quest. I'm helping you.
How did this one die? Were you here?
No.
Well, who was? Who was?
I won't tell you anything I don't want to tell. Except on the terms I stated. But I won't lie to you. I don't know who was here.
Who was here when you got here?
I can't answer that.
Oh, Marlowe, as if I didn't have enough trouble, I have to have you. As if we didn't get pushed around by the City Hall gang, the day chief, the night chief, the Chamber of Commerce, his honor, the mayor, and his paneled office, four times as big as the three lousy rooms the whole homicide staff has to work from, without even enough chairs for us all to sit down at once. 114 homicides last year. We spend our lives turning over dirty underwear and sniffing rotten teeth. We go up dark stairways to get a gun punk with a skin full of hop, and sometimes we don't get all the way up. And our wives wait supper that night and all the other nights. Nothing that we do is right. Not ever, not once. If we get a confession, we beat it out of the guy. And his shyster lawyer calls us Gestapo in court and sneers when we muddle our grammar. But all that ain't enough to make us entirely happy. We've got to have you. Hiding information, dodging around corners, suppressing evidence, framing setups. Oh, you wouldn't mind me calling you a goddamn cheap keyhole peeper, would you, baby?
You want me to mind?
Oh, I'd love it. In spades redoubled.
What would you have done in my place?
I can't imagine myself getting that low.
Come on, take it easy, Christy.
Your license is dead, Marlowe, as of now.
Only when the commission that gave it to me says so.
Just crack wise, Mom.
Lay off, Christy.
What do you want me to say?
Yes.
Now, come on, let's get on with it, Christy. Come on.
For Christ's sake. Get out of here for a while, Fred.
Come on, let it go.
No, get out of here.
Christy, for God's sake. No, I won't get out.
Pardon.
Oh. What you did that for? What is this? Some new kind of third degree? The cops beat the hell out of each other? The suspect cracks up from the agony of watching?
Oh, now you are right, Bayfus.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
17 years ago. Even my wife hates me.
Forget it, Christy. I don't even remember anybody hit me.
Will you get this peeper out of my sight? He's under arrest. Let him sit all night in a straight hard chair, which is all the chairs we have, Marlowe. Let him sit while we go out and root around and find out how to put him out of our sight forever.
Coffee coming up. You tired, Marlowe?
That's all right. I needed the exercise.
Here. Good, huh?
It's hot.
Yeah, well, this ain't a hotel.
Okay, Marlowe, on your feet. The district attorney wants to see you in his office at 9 o'clock.
Coffee, Christy?
Well, sure, Fred. How's the jaw?
What, does it show?
Yeah.
I'll tell the wife I suppressed a riot single-handed. I'm a hero. She won't believe me anyway.
After you see the DA, Marlowe, you can go. It's out of our hands.
Did you get Lagardi?
No, he ran. But he was a doctor in Cleveland, all right.
And Steelgrave was Weepy Moyer?
Between ourselves, we knew it all the time. We just couldn't prove it. Now we can wrap it up.
You know, it's too neat.
What?
One man in Bay City could prove who Steelgrave was. Quest wanted to blackmail Steelgrave. And by accident, he ran into that one man who gave him the means?
Maybe it was a fluke. He liked to take candid shots. Maybe he was after his sister. The kid killed Clausen and Mileway Marston. They both had records. Now, look, there's no need to smear the kid's family just to prove the police can solve a case.
That's white of you. How about the guns?
Both of them were registered to Steelgrave. One of them killed Quest and Stein.
Which gun?
They're identical. It'd be hell if the ballistics man got them mixed up. Pour me another coffee, will you, Fred?
Sure.
I hope the DA takes your hide off, Marlowe, in long, thin strips. Now, on your way, it's 9 o'clock.
It wasn't over. It looked as if it was, but it wasn't. The DA did tear strips off me for suppressing evidence, but he couldn't prove a thing. Mavis Weld was there, sitting cool behind dark glasses. Smart young lawyer hired by the studios. He proved in 2 seconds flat that the photograph was inadmissible as evidence without independent witnesses. So whatever I suppressed, it wasn't evidence. As to who killed Steelgrave, she smiled in a frail kind of way and said she didn't know, didn't remember, and was every inch a lady and a star, untouchable. She had just, quite innocently, got into bad company. Nobody cared much. A red-hot out of Cleveland called Weepy, who had tried to be respectable, and a few cheaties were dead, but it wasn't over. I sat in my office and waited till she came.
I came to say I'm going home.
Back to Kansas. Got your fare? I can't remember now whether I gave you back your $20. We passed it around so much.
Oh, you did. I never make mistakes about money.
You are cute, Orphanie. You can tell me the truth now. After all the work I did for you, I did for a very low fee of no dollars net.
She'll pay you. You'll get paid by Leela.
Why wouldn't you tell me who she was?
I was ashamed. Mother and I are both ashamed of her.
Orin wasn't.
Well, he'd been here a while.
How did Orin find out about who Steelgrave was? How did he know to take that picture on that day?
The doctor told him.
Sure. They bumped into each other and found out they had a common interest in sharp tools. Let me see your bag.
No, don't. It's private. It's mine.
I just want to see how much dough you squeezed out of the deal. $100 bills.
Leela gave the money to me.
Yeah. What size chisel did you use?
Do you have to be so nasty?
I wish I could have seen Oren's letters home. I guess you and he belong to that class of people who convince themselves that everything they do is right. He can blackmail his sister. And if a couple of small-time crooks want to share, he can knock them off. You hired me because he wasn't cutting you in on the deal.
I came out here to make sure... to make sure Oren treated me right. That's all.
Why did he contact you last night?
He'd lost the pictures. He was scared of Dr. Lagardi.
This will make you laugh. I have the pictures. I have them all the time.
I don't believe you.
There they are. Hey, want to split the 1,000 with me? Mavis didn't give it to you. Steelgrave did. Just what was it you sold Steelgrave for this $1,000, Orphame?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
You only had one thing to sell. You sold him your brother. How else did Steelgrave know where Orin was to kill him? You told him for $1,000 in blood money.
Who's alive to prove it? Nobody. And who would listen to you? $20 buys you.
I don't have any brothers or sisters to sell.
I could tell the police a lot more about you. You can't blackmail me.
Go back to Kansas. Do you know all I'll regret? Not being able to see you and your dear old church-going mother fighting over how to split the dough. I could tell the police who shot Steelgrave, because I know now who didn't. But don't worry. I won't. I still have a client to protect. Goodbye, little sister. Hollywood. Yeah?
Are you all right, amigo?
I've been up all night.
Has the little one called with you?
She's just left. I think I know it all now, Dolores. Are you at home?
Si.
Stay there. I'll be over. The Chateau Bercy on Franklin Avenue was old, but made over with glass brick, cornice lighting, three-cornered glass tables, and a color scheme of vile green, linseed poultice brown, sidewalk gray, and monkey bottom blue. It was as restful as a split lip. Dolores Gonzalez, as she was called in pictures, still wore black, with a flame-colored shirt and a red, red mouth.
Amigo.
She stood close enough to touch me with the hard tips of her breasts. I went on in. I didn't want to look at her. I asked her where she had lived in Cleveland.
Cleveland? Did I say Cleveland?
Last night. How did you get to know Steelgrave?
I was married then. It was just that in those days it was fun to know a gangster. One went to the places where they were said to go and...
You let him pick you up?
No. I picked him up. He was a very sweet little man.
What about your husband?
Amigo, the streets are paved with discarded husbands.
How's this for poetry? He was a doctor, a graduate of the Sorbonne. Amigo. The only thing Mexican about you is that word and a few more and the accent. Everybody has been acting.
All poetry is fiction, amigo.
I'm too tired to play. I am in bad trouble. The DA may not know whether or not Mavis Well shot Steelgrave, but he is very sure that I know.
And do you?
Yeah. There's a question I've been asking from the beginning. Where are you staying, Orphame?
She stayed here.
And that gave her all the right connections. It fits now.
The little sister, she's...
Stop acting.
I'll cry, amigo. Steelgrave was pleased with Orphame because of the information she gave him. I took her out to the gambling house. He was drunk. I'd never seen him drunk before. He said he had a present for her. It was wrapped in a handkerchief. When she unwrapped it, it was a wallet with a bullet hole in it stained with blood. She took it, she thanked him, and then she opened her bag to put it away. But instead, she took a gun out of her bag and shot him.
Did you then make her tell Mavis what she had done?
Yes.
So Mavis lied to protect her family. What was the little sister's fee for this performance?
I do not care to answer that question.
You paid Orphame the $1,000 to tell it that way. You gave quite a performance yourself last night. When you rushed me out there, you already knew he was dead. I've heard nothing but stories. The big story is that Steelgrave is Weepy Moyer, a red hot. Stein is in his way. So he gets himself in jail, then out by bribing your friend the doctor, kills Stein. Goes back in. Nothing proved. They let him go. Ole. But the very day he plans to bump off Sonny Moe, he has lunch in a public place with a movie star just to make it more obvious. And Orin is around to take the picture. If I was Steelgrave after all that, even if I planned to dust Stein, that night would be the one night I would not do it.
Then who did?
You did. You gave me a gun last night. That gun killed Orin and Stein. You could get close enough to him. Those 32 automatics were twin presents to Mavis and you. You set Steelgrave and her up together and got Orin to take the pictures. You mixed sex and business, Orin would be easy. But why?
I killed for love. The love of a man I once knew in Cleveland and lost here. No matter how many lovers a woman may have, there's always one she cannot bear to lose to another woman. He was the one. That man I would not share.
So, you killed Steelgrave and got me to do the fixing so that Mavis would get to make the big money to keep paying you for the rest of her life for taking your man away.
You can't do one damn thing about it without destroying Mavis Wells. And you, I think, are in love with her.
I could sit in the dark with her and hold hands. But how long would it last? She won't be a real person anymore. She'll be a face on a big screen. I'd want more than that.
Do you want me?
I'd want more than that.
That's too bad, amigo. What are you going to do?
What about your husband, Dr. Vince?
Let him run. He always ran. Excuse me. Help yourself to a drink. You look as if you need it.
Baby, I'm sunk.
I won't be a moment.
Lagardi! Lagardi! What the hell have you done? For Christ's sake, Doctor, hear me! Lagardi, you killed her! You stabbed her! Lagardi! Lagardi!
I called the cops. He never spoke, saw nothing, heard nothing. He must have loved her. In Cleveland. This was Hollywood. Acting isn't lying. It doesn't even have that dignity. It's just a high-class forgery. Dolores was too good an actress to be in pictures. She was the real thing. Once Orin had his fling, she killed the rest. For love. She saw a way to blackmail Mavis for taking her man away and make it stick by killing Stein. She had the motive. She had the means. Kid brother Orin and his Leica. But Orin lost the pictures and then himself, so Orphame had to hire me to find him. And if Steelgrave hadn't killed Stein, then Dolores was the only one with the opportunity to slide across a car seat and put two slugs from a bone-handled .32 into Sonny Moe's unlamented head. That was her mistake, using the same gun again on Orin. Steelgrave did nothing. Mavis lied to protect her family. Her family tried to cut her up for the collection plate. Me? I fell for it. I even believed some of the stories. I had been walking down two streets. Maybe I had loved Mavis, but I hadn't what she needed, and I didn't know what I needed. I was just Marlowe, who started out cheap and ended cheaper still. I went home with a bottle of Old Forester. And sometime into the endless night, I fell asleep. And I dreamed I was looking for something very important that was lost. All I kept finding was bodies.
In Bill Morrison's radio adaptation of Raymond Chandler's novel, The Little Sister, Ed Bishop played the part of Philip Marlowe, Toby Robbins that of Dolores Gonzalez, Margaret Robertson, Mavis Weld, and Liza Ross, Orphame Quest. Lieutenant French was played by Don Fellows, Dr. Lagardi, Paul Maxwell, Sergeant Bathus, Rod Beecham, Steelgrave, Michael Goldie, Clausen, Peter Marinker, Hicks, Bill Morrison, Sheridan Ballou, Neville Jason, Joseph Toad, William Roberts, Lieutenant McGlashan, Ramsay Williams, and the clerk and Orin Quest, Malcolm Gerard. The music consultant was Adrian Edwards. The play was directed by John Tideman.